Two Black Hawk helicopters cut through Pakistani airspace on May 2, 2011, carrying Navy SEALs toward a compound in Abbottabad. Inside, Osama bin Laden slept in beige pajamas, unaware his decade-long run was ending. President Obama and his team watched via drone feed from the White House Situation Room as commandos prepared to fast rope into the courtyard. The stakes were astronomical. Flying without Pakistani permission meant capture could lead to torture. When SEAL Robert O'Neill fired three shots over bin Laden's human shield, ending the terrorist mastermind's life, it marked not an ending, but a beginning. This was the template for a new kind of warfare: surgical strikes, drone surveillance, and elite operators hunting terrorists in the shadows. What followed would be years of increasingly sophisticated operations against an evolving threat that would spread from Middle Eastern deserts to African villages, claiming thousands of lives and transforming how America fights its wars. On August 19, 2014, American journalist James Foley knelt in Syrian desert sand wearing an orange jumpsuit. The 40-year-old freelancer had survived Libyan captivity, yet returned to conflict zones. After nearly 2 years imprisoned, enduring escape attempts, shared rations, and waterboarding, ISIS demanded $132 million for his release. U.S. law prohibited payment. ISIS filmed his brutal beheading with professional equipment, creating high-definition propaganda that shocked the world. Fellow American hostages Stephen Sotloff, Peter Kasig, and Kayla Mueller watched in horror, knowing they might be next. President Obama condemned the murder, calling ISIS a terrorist organization that has appalled the world, yet remained reluctant to deploy ground troops. ISIS had emerged from al-Qaeda in Iraq, founded by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in 2004. After fading during the 2007 U.S. troop surge, the group resurged following American withdrawal under Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's leadership. While U.S. law prohibited paying ransoms, many foreign governments routinely made such payments, a deadly double standard that would doom remaining American hostages. 7,000 miles from Martha's Vineyard, 26-year-old Kayla Mueller sat chained in an ISIS cell. Kidnapped while visiting a Doctors Without Borders hospital in Aleppo, this Arizona humanitarian had vowed, "As long as I live, I will not let suffering be normal." Now she was living that suffering firsthand. ISIS tortured her, ripping out fingernails, shaving her head, inflicting unspeakable cruelties. When her boyfriend Omar claimed to be her husband, Kayla refused to confirm it before ISIS judges, knowing the lie meant his execution. Omar was detained and tortured for 50 days, while Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi made Kayla his wife. By spring 2014, 15 Europeans were released after ransoms were paid. 4 Americans and 3 Britons remained. On July 3, 2014, Delta Force commandos raided the compound near Raqqa, but the hostages had been moved days earlier. The mission failed, and Kayla's fate was sealed. On November 13, 2015, Geraldo Rivera's daughter Simone attended a France-Germany soccer match in Paris. 19 minutes in, an explosion rocked the Stade de France. The crowd cheered, thinking it was fireworks, but Simone felt uneasy. Paris remained vigilant after the Charlie Hebdo massacre 10 months earlier. A second explosion erupted 10 minutes later. A suicide bomber had detonated outside after being stopped by security. Armed police barricaded all exits. "No one was telling us what to do," Simone later recounted. "We were all freaking out. There's this swarm of people running at us, and we just all start running." Meanwhile, terrorists in a black sedan targeted restaurants, firing 330 bullets and murdering 39 people. At 9:42, 3 gunmen attacked the Bataclan Theater during an Eagles of Death Metal concert, methodically slaughtering concertgoers. 90 people died before police stormed the venue. The coordinated attacks killed 130 people total. President Hollande declared France's first state of emergency since World War II, closing borders and vowing to be ruthless. As Paris locked down, Simone and her friends wandered the streets crying. Eventually, her father arrived and asked on camera, "Do you want to come home, sweetheart?" She replied simply, I want to come home. While Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi represented the Sunni terrorist threat, Iran's General Qasem Soleimani posed a more sophisticated danger. Unlike al-Baghdadi, whom one American politician called a knucklehead, Soleimani was brilliant, somebody who would run Microsoft in another life. His loss would be unrecoverable to Iran's terrorist network. Despite no military training when joining the IRGC in 1979 at age 22, Soleimani rose rapidly during the Iran-Iraq War. For over three decades, he expanded Shia power against Sunni rivals and Western nations. Under his leadership, the IRGC grew to 190,000 members, with its own navy and air force. His elite Quds force trained terror factions like Hamas and Islamic Jihad, propped up Syria's Assad regime, supported Yemen's Houthi militants, funded Hezbollah against Israel, and worked with the Taliban to kill Americans. His hatred for America intensified during the 2003 Iraq invasion. His forces provided armor-piercing bombs to attack U.S. troops and pressured Iraqi leadership to refuse American military presence. Soleimani remained mysterious until the Tikrit battle, when he finally allowed himself to be photographed. His carefully crafted image, appearing religious, kind, stern yet impish, made him popular throughout the Middle East. Behind this facade lived a terrorist mastermind who funded operations through drug trafficking. By 2019, Soleimani felt untouchable after receiving Iran's most prestigious medal. But at U.S. Army Central Command in Tampa, military leaders were compiling reasons to act. By summer 2019, American intelligence tracked Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi to a compound in Barisha, Syria. Two breaks cracked the case. Agents arrested one of his wives and her courier, and an Arab informant seeking the $25 million reward delivered al-Baghdadi's unwashed underwear and a used bandage, both confirming his DNA. On October 26th, eight helicopters carrying 65 Delta Force commandos lifted off from Iraq. After blasting entry points, 11 children and two women emerged and were evacuated. Delta Force encountered four women wearing suicide vests, including two of al-Baghdadi's wives. When they refused to surrender, all four were shot. A military dog named Conan tracked al-Baghdadi into underground tunnels, where he detonated his suicide vest with two small children. DNA confirmation triggered the code word jackpot. 3 months later, on January 3, 2020, General Qasem Soleimani secretly boarded a flight to Baghdad, unaware he was walking into a trap. CIA Director Gina Haspel had tracked him all day. At 12:55 a.m., Hellfire missiles from MQ-9 Reaper drones struck his convoy. All that remained was his severed hand with his distinctive red carnelian ring lying on the roadside illuminated by flaming wreckage. In the tense aftermath, nervous Revolutionary Guard soldiers mistakenly shot down Ukrainian passenger jet Flight 752, killing all 176 people aboard. 3,000 miles south of the Middle East, Islamic State terrorism established African strongholds. In Mouate, Mozambique, ISIS forced villagers to behead neighbors or face execution themselves. 50 men and boys were slaughtered. In Nigeria, Boko Haram killed nearly 7,000 people in 2014, murdering 59 male students in February, then abducting 276 Christian schoolgirls from Chibok in April, forcing conversions and selling them as brides for $4 to $12 each. American Special Operations Forces now operate covertly in 22 African nations. Niger became a deadly battleground, with ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Boko Haram controlling different regions. As one theater was contained, extremists relocated to more vulnerable areas. As former Navy SEAL Rory Larkin observed after working 448 hostage cases, the war on terror fundamentally comes down to ideology. Terrorists willing to die for their cause versus special forces willing to die for theirs. The war isn't won with a single raid. It's fought one compound at a time, one hostage rescue at a time, by operators who confront darkness most will never understand.